before you drink. What you get isn't always what you think.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier. Beers of Alaska, learn about them here.
Well, don't settle for the first, for it might be the worst. Cleanse your palate before you quench your thirst.
Welcome to Drinking on the Last Frontier on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, KenaiSoul.na. I'm your host, Bill Howell, and let's say thanks to Recess Duty for leading us in with their wonderful song, Beers of Alaska. We've got a great show for you this month. We're going to be talking all about festivals, specifically interviews at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. But before we move into that, let's get started with the beer news from around the state. At the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, we want to congratulate hometown favorite Kenai River Brewing for once again winning the People's Choice Award for Best Brewery. Congratulations are also in order for newcomer Girdwood Brewing. It won the People's Choice for Best Beer with its No Woman, No Cryo, a New England-styled IPA. Girdwood Brewing only opened its doors in March, so this is its first appearance at a beer festival on the peninsula, but we certainly hope it won't be the last. It's been several years in the making, but Quake Brewing in Wasilla opened for business on August 16th. The brewery is located at 1540 North Shoreline Drive, and its hours of operation are Wednesday through Friday from 5 to 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. So congratulations to the boys at Quake, and we look forward to you turning out some great brews. The Travel Channel show Food Paradise filmed an episode at both Moose's Tooth Pizzeria and Midnight Sun Brewing in Anchorage on Wednesday, August 16th. No word yet on when it will be broadcast. Midnight Sun Brewing has also released the first beer in its new Wild Adventure series, Rider, a pale lager, barrel-aged with Brettanomyces. Next up is Sporter, a sour porter. All beers in this series will be brewed using some combination of wild yeast and bacteria and Brettanomyces. On Saturday, September 9th, the second annual Alaska Crafted Festival will be taking place from 5 to 9 p.m. in downtown Anchorage. Held on F Street between Humpies and Willowaw, this is a reprise of last year's event, which was held on May 21st. This event is unique in that it features only Alaska-made beer, wine, and spirits, as well as food vendors and live music. The Talkeetna Brew Fest will be taking place on Saturday, September 16th. It's held at the Sheldon Community Arts Hangar in Talkeetna from 2 to 6 p.m. Tickets are $55 each and are limited to 200, so advance purchase is recommended. I was fortunate enough to attend this festival back in 2015 and had an outstanding time. Also, on the Friday night before the festival, the Denali Brew Pub Twister Creek Restaurant in downtown Talkeetna will be hosting the 6th Annual Collaborative Brewers Dinner, a truly exceptional meal. When I attended it in 2015, this was still just a beer dinner, but it has now grown to encompass Alaska-made wines, ciders, meads, and spirits, as well as beer. Seats are $75 each and sell out quickly, so if you want to attend, call 907-733-2537 and make your reservations right away. That's 907-733-2537. Anchorage Brewing Company will be hosting Zwanzi Day again this year on Saturday, September 23rd, starting at 11 a.m. Zwanzi Day is an annual event sponsored by the Chantillon Brewery in Brussels. Chantillon brews a small batch of an experimental beer and offers it for sale in select locations around the world. This beer is usually a different style each year and is something other than a traditional Chantillon lambic. This allows the brewers to experiment and take part in the fun, semi-sarcastic humor of Brussels, which is the true meaning of the word Zwanzi. Anchorage Brewing is the only location in Alaska participating in Zwanzi Day. Anchor Brewing Company of San Francisco, one of the truly iconic craft breweries in the United States, has been purchased by the Japanese brewery Sapporo. Owned and operated by beer pioneer Fritz Maytag from 1968 to 2010, Anchor served as an example and an inspiration to many of the earliest craft breweries in America. Sadly, with this sale, Anchor will no longer meet the Brewers Association's definition of a craft brewery, as it can no longer be considered independent. Beer drinkers throughout Illinois will soon be able to enjoy a taste of Alaska, as Alaskan brewing will be on tap and on the shelves in the land of Lincoln this summer. Alaskan is partnering with a network of 14 distributors statewide, including Lakeshore Beverage in Chicago, to bring into Illinois brews made from the glacier-fed waters of Juneau. The move into Illinois will mark the 20th state where Alaskan brewing is distributed. Starting in mid-September, beer fans in Illinois can expect to see year-round packages of Amber, White, Husky IPA, Hopothermia Double IPA, and the Taste of Alaska Sampler Pack. Alaska's seasonal winter ale will follow in October. That's it for news. Coming up, a feature on what makes the perfect festival, the Oktoberfest style, and of course our interviews at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. This is Beer on the Last Frontier on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.
Everybody's got a story. We want to share those stories and keep you in the loop. Tune in to the KDLL Evening News weekdays at 5:20 to hear stories about your community, your neighbors, and to get the latest news to help you make informed decisions. The KDLL Evening News with me, Shaylin Cochran, weekdays at 5:20 right here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
This is Bill Howell with Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, and we're here at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. We're here with Jed Wade from Bear Paw River Brewing. Jed, thanks for coming down from Wasilla. We really appreciate it. This is your guys' first time at this festival.
This is our first time here, and we are very excited. We've got three beers today, our flagship Frontiersman IPA and Matt Made Milk Stout. And then for the connoisseur session, a triple-hopped Mosaic American IPA.
Now, that one sounds very interesting. I know you haven't been open, but just over 2 years now,
yeah,
right?
So December will be 2 years for us in operation. We opened in December of 15, so first time down to this festival and happy to be here.
Well, you guys, I know you've been expanding recently. You just started bottling not that long ago, and we've been seeing your beers on the shelves down here in the Kenai, which is great. You got any other near-term expansion plans?
Yeah, so Specialty Imports has been doing a fantastic job for us getting our beer out into the state, and our 22-ounce bottles are out there now, and then we're going to start canning this fall. So 12-ounce cans coming October, November timeframe. So that's our next kind of big project that we're working on right now.
Well, that sounds really great. Thanks, Jed. Appreciate you coming down and taking the time to talk with us. So have a great festival.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're here with Gene Diamond of Specialty Imports at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. Gene, what are you pouring today?
Well, we brought down four different kegs tonight. We're doing a J.K. Scrumpy's Organic Cider. We're going to do Lindemann's Frambois, of course, always a favorite amongst the peoples. And then we brought in Pike's Brewing out of Seattle. We brought their 5X Stout. And then from Quebec, we brought in Little Le Fin du Monde.
Very, very nice. That sounds great.
And then in bottles, we brought in the new Crazy Mountain from Colorado. Brand new for us. We've had it up here for about a month. So we brought in their barley wine and their IPA. So they're kind of a fun new thing to do. Nobody's really seen them much around here. Standbys, Anchor Steam, and brought in some gluten-free for those folks that, you know, can't really do beer.
So you're going to keep pouring Anchor Steam even though they're owned by Sapporo now?
Well, you know, we still rep them. We still support them until they give us the word, you know. So we can't, we have nothing to do with those big buyouts of those corporations. So we just got to deal with what we deal with. And, you know, what's a beer fest without Anchor Steam? We think we've been around for so long. So we like to keep them going.
Yeah, Anchor Steam's a personal favorite of mine. It was the first craft beer I had many, many, many moons ago, like a lot of people my age. Anything else new you got in the pike? Or are you picking up any new new breweries to rep anytime?
Not that I'm aware of at the time, but of course, you know how that changes very quickly around here. So we did bring in for the connoisseur tasting, for those folks that wanted to come in early, we did bring in the Duchess for a little taste treat. That's, a lot of people don't know too much about the sours, so.
Yeah, that's Duchess de Borghese. It's a sour beer aged in the wood, if I recall.
Yes.
Well, great, Gene. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you taking the time, and hope have a good festival.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
We're here with June from Arcos Brewery out of Palmer, and they're here at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. So, June, welcome to the fest, and this is your guys' second year, third year?
Well, actually, I think our beer has been here in the past quite a few years now, but this is actually Stephen and are my first time actually being here. So we're really excited that we're here in person this year.
Super. So what are you going to be pouring?
We have our, for the connoisseur session, we have our Strongman Double IPA. It's an homage to the Alaska State Fair. We're located directly behind the State Fair there in Palmer. We're also pouring our Liquid Spirit American Pale Ale, our Big Top Blonde, and lastly, our number 5 Boxcar Porter.
Well, super. I know you guys have been expanding a lot recently, and you just started, I know you redid your label designs and kind of expanded your bottle lineup. You got any other expansion plans coming in the near future?
Yeah, actually, we are expanding a little bit in the next few months here. We're going to be taking over, doubling our space, expanding our tap room, expanding our fermentation space, our refrigeration space, and so it'll allow us a lot more brewing capacity.
So what are you guys up to now as far as capacity? How many barrels a year, ballpark?
Well, we're doing about 1,200 barrels a year. So right now we're going to expand. We're opening up the production space by moving our tap room. So we're planning on adding more 40 barrel fermenters, initially 2, and then we'll see how it goes based on the space we have.
So then you're going to move the tap room to the new part of the building that you're taking over. Is that the plan?
Correct. As we say, the other side. Yes.
We're going to the other side.
I should say this is Stephen, who just jumped in into the interview. So he's the other half of the Arcos Brewery team. Anything else exciting happening?
We're just packaging right now. We added 2. We started with 4 beers in 22-ounce bottles. Mm-hmm. But just this year, we added the Ovis. Belgian style, gold and strong.
I'm looking forward to trying that.
Yeah, it's in limited release, but it is out now. We're ramping up production on that one. And then the other one is the Mandarina Mousse Grapefruit IPA, where we dry hop it with Mandarina Bavaria hops. Super. So those two are, now that brings us now to 6 beers that we distribute. And most of our production has now shifted to bottles, 22-ounce bottles. It seems like most of it just goes straight into the bottles.
And those are all in our new branding. As you said earlier, we rebranded ourselves with new logo, new packaging design, which incidentally won a gold award in the Hermes Creative Awards competition and in the packaging category, so we're really excited about that.
And the Hermes Creative Awards are an international competition that covers the scope of all types of design and creative arts.
Well, great. Congratulations, and hope you have a great festival down here. We're pretty proud of it. Glad you guys can make it down for it this year.
It's always great to come down to the peninsula, and beer is even better reason.
All righty. See ya. We're talking with Darcy Kniepel, the beer ambassador, that's her title, from Midnight Sun Brewing in Anchorage, and she's down here for our festival. I see you've got your sign up for Wolfpack Pilsner.
So yes.
That's going to be, when's that going to be coming?
So Wolfpack Pilsner will be coming in cans, probably about the second week of October. We've got the final proof, we've got a tap handle in the work, so October is going to be a really big month for the Wolfpack Pilsner. It's already been a huge summer for it, because it's great beer for summer, but expecting even bigger stuff with it.
So what are you going to be pouring today?
We did the Wolfpack Pilsner today, and then we did a special couple kegs of the Fallen Angel Belgian Golden Strong, cask conditioned with blackberries. And then we did the Hop Dog Double Wheat IPA. We had kind of a later release of that this year. It just came out Thursday down at the brewery, so we're bringing our taste down here. And then finally, we've got the Brutality Espresso Black Beer that we're topping with a little bit of cinnamon whiskey whipped cream.
Ooh, wow, that sounds quite good. And you have any, I see it looks like the Grand Cru brew for the VIP session?
Yes. We were thinking, trying to find something super special for those guys that come out and do that first hour. So we're hopefully going to make it worth their while.
That is a very special beer. I'm looking forward to tasting it. Besides the Wolfpack, what have you guys got, any other new items coming out?
We've just done the first release of our AK Adventure Series, which is going to be an all-sour series. And we're doing all kinds of different sours. The first release just came out as Ryder, which is a sour pale lager. It's been aged for 14 months with Botana Mayenses and oak barrels, and it's got a hum to it. It's a beautiful, like, nice hay and citrus and tart notes to it.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to tasting it. And the second one's going to be a sour porter, right?
Yeah. It kind of just became known as this porter, and so that's the name on it. It's the sour porter. That one as well has been barrel aging with Botana Mayenses. I actually haven't had a chance to pull a bottle of that recently, so I don't want to comment on the notes in it yet, but recently the dark beers and the sours is my favorite thing.
I'm looking forward to that one because that's kind of a throwback to the historic porters that were blended with stale aged beers. The last month I talked about porter as a style. And back in the heyday of porter, they had a lot of Brettanomyces in them, so it should be interesting to see how it comes out. So when are the cans going to be out?
We have our final proof through, and they will be out, we expect the container October 1st, and then we figure about 2 weeks of filling and packaging and shipping, and you should see them on stores no later than the second week of October.
Great, great. Well, thanks, Darcy. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Have a great festival.
Cheers. Have an awesome fest.
We're here with Andy from Kenai River Brewing. He's one of the new brewers, or relatively new brewers over there. So, Andy, what are you guys pouring today?
Well, we are, for our specialty beers, we're going to have the 2013 Warlock on all night. And then we're going to have various other specialty beers on throughout the night. For the first hour, we'll have our Oak Age Wee Heavy. And then after that, Oaked Russian Imperial Stout, a Pacific Gem single hop, and a hoppy lager to finish off the night.
Well, that's you guys always do a really good job of bringing different things to pour at different times throughout the festival, so that's really great. So, do you know, have you guys got anything new coming down the pike anytime soon over at the brewery?
Well, we just finished our 2017 Warlock, so that should be out sometime later this year.
First of October, I think, is usually when it gets released, so if we hold true to form.
So that's the latest, and we have an experimental single hop that we haven't brewed yet, but that's in the works.
Oh, great, great. So I'm sure one of these days Doug is going to brew that mild he's been promising me for the last 10 years, but we'll see if that comes through or not. So anyway, thanks, Andy. Appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Thanks.
Have a great festival.
You too.
Hey, we're here with Brett Marenka from Girdwood Brewing Company. They just opened last March.
March 17th.
March 17th. Yeah, St. Patty's Day. So only been open for 6 months, but already getting a lot of great reviews. And we're happy to see them here at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival. So what do you bring us today, Brett?
Well, this is to start. This is our first beer fest. So as you can see, we're
well, you're starting
just
with
barely
the best,
getting started.
So that's a good idea.
Good choice. So we brought four beers for the fest today. The connoisseur sesh beer we brought is a Saison that we aged on Brettanomyces. A little funkier than our normal version of that Saison. It's called the Salmon Slayer. And then, so we have that and the normal version of it. And then we have No Woman, No Cryo. That's our New England IPA. And then we also have a Hippie Speedball. That's our coffee stout.
Those all sound great. I've had a couple of them, and I know they're really, really good. I saw you guys have started doing crowlers, course.
Yep.
And you got any other expansion plans coming up anytime soon?
Oh, that was kind of our biggest, was like a way to get packaged beer out there other than a growler, something kind of quick and easy. Well, from the consumer standpoint, it's a bit tedious on the back end, the single filling and single canning at a time, but it's worked great for us. Like, as many as we can fill every day we're selling, so for now we're just trying to keep up with demand still. So that was, you know, we wanted a way to get easy packaged beer out there for hikers, bikers, campers, fishers, whatever, you know, and you didn't have to lug the growler around, so that was the easiest means to get that going. So
yeah, those growlers are a great fit for Alaska. I mean, lightweight, unbreakable, so
definitely.
Kind of a perfect container.
And for us, that was just the easy way to get into the packaged beer market. You can get small quantities of them, so, yep. So.
Well, great. Thanks for coming to our festival. I hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a good time and come back for many, many more.
Definitely. I think we're aiming to have a good time, so I think we'll be back again.
Hey, Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Galen.
See you.
Yeah, been meaning to get up and check you guys out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're here talking with Galen Jones of Double Shovel Cider Company, which, if memory serves, is like the first commercial cidery in the state of Alaska. Currently, probably about the only one still,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. We're the only micro cidery we're just dedicated to doing hard ciders. That's all we do, so.
So anyway, he's here at our festival for the first time, right? This is your first time at Kenai Festival, right?
Yep, first year. We're super happy to be here, get more of a presence down on the peninsula and share that cider goodness.
Yeah, I've seen your stuff on tap a few places. And you guys aren't bottling that, are you? Or have I just missed it?
We're not bottling yet, except for some small batch stuff where we've bottled some traditional ciders where we fermented Alaskan apples that we picked ourselves up here using the wild yeast from the skin. But then we have a canning line and we have all our cans and we're going to start canning in October, the forget-me-hopped cider. So you'll be able to find that in stores coming later this fall.
Excellent. Yeah, I think cider is a big... Everybody seems to be talking about cider. Cider's like the new big thing. I guess it helps that it's gluten-free for everybody who doesn't like gluten.
Yeah, so anybody with a gluten allergy, it's really friendly for that, and it's just a really good alternative to beer. We have so much good beer in the state, as you guys know, but we just thought we'd come up with something a little different and mix it up a little bit. So, and we've had such a good reception so far with everybody in Alaska. It's been really great. So, but we have, you know, 10 different types of cider on tap at our tasting room in Anchorage in Midtown. So we always have a food truck there, so people can come by, get dinner, and just kind of participate and join in that the cool brewery scene around the state.
Great. Well, what are you pouring here at the festival?
Good question. So for the connoisseur session, we brought out some extra dry cider, which has zero residual sugar. It's a hard cider. We use Washington apples to ferment it, and we ferment all the sugar down, so it's a specific gravity of 1000. For all the brewery geeks, that means no sugar at all left in there. And then for the rest of the session, we have our forget-me-hopped cider, which we use three types of hops infused with the hard cider there. And then our Appalache semi-dry, which is just a little bit of back sweetening involved in that. So it's similar to the extra dry with a little bit of sweetness to it, but still really low, still pretty dry. And then we have our pineapple hard cider, which is pineapple juice mixed with a semi-dry cider to get a nice crisp summer kind of a session cider, so it's a little bit lower alcohol, but around 5%.
Great. Sounds like a good selection. So you mentioned you guys are going to start canning. Do you have any other expansion plans in the near future, anything?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the canning, we actually are getting a couple more tanks, so a couple more 60-barrel fermenters, and then a 10-barrel fermenter that we can do some cool experimentation stuff with right now. So we only have a couple 40-barrel fermenters already, so they mainly just get to use for our commercial batches. But the 10-barrel will be cool because we can put a lot of that Alaska apple juice and start making some more traditional, more artisanal type ciders with that. So that's in the works right now. Those tanks will be up here at the end of the month. And then, like you said, canning too. So we're really excited about that.
How much Alaskan apple juice are you able to come up with? That would seem to me that would be one of the limiting factors, is there's just not that many people growing apples and the right kind of apples because I know cider apples are not the same as eating apples.
Yeah, that's true. So cider apples, just to touch on that for a second, are a lot different than culinary apples. They're not as sugary, they're not as sweet, they're really high in acids and tannins. So really a cider apple is going to be smaller, more like a crab apple. Actually, crab apples make really good cider, which fortunately we have a lot of up here. So you can get that higher tannic level and the tartness from the acid. And so if you ate a cider apple, it would probably be pretty gross compared to those culinary apples you buy at the store. Yeah, so there's a couple orchards. There's one in Fairbanks, and then I think in the valley there might be one or two, and then in Anchorage off Rabbit Creek Road there's one. So we just try to get as many apples as we can. We can usually get in the low thousands of pounds, and really we're getting about, with our press, we have about a gallon of juice per about 13 pounds of apples. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much it would actually take. So one of our 40 barrel fermenters is over, it's 1,240 gallons, so it would take almost, I think, 18,000 pounds to do, my math might be wrong on that, but the point is,
take a lot of apples.
A lot of apples. So unfortunately, I think we're growing faster than the Alaska orchard infrastructure is in the state. Although we'd love to be all Alaska apple, I think we're going to have two sides of the business. One's going to be the Alaska apple, more of the craft, the hand bottled stuff, the stuff that's a little bit different, more traditional style. And then we'll have the ciders that we'll go to in the tap room with the canning, and also more draft around the state at different restaurants and bars.
Great. Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Galen. We really appreciate it, and best of luck. Thanks for coming to the festival, and we hope we'll see you down here in the future.
All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity to, you know, share the brand. I appreciate it. We're going to have fun today.
So now we're talking to Leah Vick, the president of the Kenai Peninsula Brewing and Tasting Society. So she's here at the festival during the VIP hour. So, Leah, what do you think of the festival so far?
It's great. There are a lot of good beers here. We've had a really good time just going around, checking out what all the different brewers are offering. And, I think that they've done a really good job again.
Well, it's nice that it stopped raining, so that's obviously a definite plus. What beers have you had so far?
Well, we tried the Grace Ridge Brewing Company, their lemon tart, and we tried the Brutality from Midnight Sun Brewing Company, and also their Grand Cru Brew, which is the Connoisseur Session beer that they're offering right now. So, still making our rounds.
What did you think of the Grand Cru Brew?
Oh, it's excellent. It's delicious.
So why don't you take a minute and tell us about the club, in case anybody who's listening is interested in coming to any of the meetings or anything.
Sure. The Kenai Peninsula Brewers and Tasters Society meets once a month. And while I think the original intent of the meeting was to gather people around for home brewing purposes, it's kind of ventured more into the tasting realm. So once a month we get together. A lot of people bring their home brews in, but we also taste different beers that we've never tried before, different styles of beer. There's themes every month. We'll do canned beers one month. We'll do all beers from a certain region of the world one month. So it's just kind of a fun way for beer aficionados to get together and share our passion.
So you guys meet on the first Thursday of every month at 6:30, right?
Yes, that's correct. And we meet at the Shriners Hall there on West Poppy. It's kind of right behind the gas station there.
So anybody who's interested in beer or home brewing, they should just show up, right?
Absolutely. We have a Facebook page set up, but we also have a meetup site, and that's where we typically ask people to RSVP if they're planning on coming to the meeting or if they have any other questions.
Well, great. That sounds like a good time, and anybody out there that's interested in beer or homebrewing should definitely check it out. So thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Leah. We hope you have a enjoy the festival.
Thanks, you too. Cheers.
We're here with Don Stead from Grace Ridge Brewing in Homer, one of our newer breweries here on the peninsula. Just opened up in May of 2016, right? So, he's here at the festival. I think this is your second year here. So, and with his lovely wife, Sherry. So, hey, Sherry, thanks for coming. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about the beers you brought?
Okay, well, the beers that we brought today, we actually have three, but we have one that's special just for this connoisseur session, which is the lemon tart. And it's a kettle soured beer, and it's very, very popular. People just love it. And obviously it's got lemons in it, so it does taste like a lemon tart. I mean, it's got wheat for the crust, it's got the lemon, and it's a wonderful, wonderful beer. Very light, refreshing for summer. Then we also have, right now, we've got on the Smash beer, which is a single malt, single hop beer, and it's in the pale ale style. style, and it also is very refreshing summer beer right now.
Yeah, those sound really good, Don. So I think you just recently started doing crowlers, right? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. We're doing crowlers, 32-ounce cans, and they're very popular as well. And we kind of did it because that way people could come in, grab and go, and it's a really good deal for especially the fishermen. They can't take glass on the boat, and so, you know, they come in and grab a couple of cans and go.
So have you got any other new expansion plans or new beers in the works you're going to release anytime soon?
Well, it's embarrassing to say, but we keep running out of beer. And so we're looking at getting a 7-barrel fermenter so that we can double batch. And that'll probably be coming in January. We'll take a 2-week outage. We'll shut down. We'll install that. We'll move some of the fermenters around. Hopefully we'll be able to come back next year and not run out of beer again.
So. Well, you can hope, Don, but my experience has been in this state, people are always running out of beer. So, well, hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us, and have a great festival.
Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. All right.
Let's go talk to Devin Wagner. Well, now we're talking with Devin Wagner, former brewer at Kenai River Brewing, and then he took a little sabbatical down to Montana for a while, and now he's brewing at 49th State in Anchorage. So great that you're down here for the festival, Devin. I mean, I know it's not a new festival for you because you've got some history here, but happy to see 49th State came down. So what have you guys been up to up there lately?
Trying to keep up with production. That's what we're trying to do. We so far have brewed more in the downtown Anchorage location than we did all last summer when we officially opened on 4th of July. So it's been fun, though, trying to keep up. Learning new beers, kind of just figuring out the new system with this job. I've only been there for a month and a half now, and learning the beers, and kind of looking forward to just helping them develop some new recipes and keep those standards really consistent, trying to match what's coming out of Healy with what we're producing in Anchorage.
I can see where that would be a challenge, where you've got two separate breweries, two separate systems, and yet you're trying to maintain a flavor profile between the same beers, even though they're coming from different locations. So what did you bring down to the festival for us today?
For the connoisseur session, we've got our Intrepid Imperial Stout that's brewed with birch syrup and spruce tips. We also have our Golden Doll, it's our Belgian Triple, 907 Vienna Lager, and our ever-popular Solstice IPA.
Great. So I've had most of those, and they're all great beers. So thanks for coming down for the fest, and thanks for taking the time out to talk to us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're here with Bill Fry from Bear Creek Winery. So he's at the festival. You guys have been here, was this your third or fourth year?
I believe it's our fourth time.
Yeah,
could be fifth.
That sounds about right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're pouring today?
We make wine from other than grapes. They're called country wines. We make them standalone. We blend them together. We make blueberry, rhubarb, raspberry, gooseberries, and we blend them together like strawberry rhubarb. And we also make grape wines where we source the grape juice, ferment that, and then blend it with our country wines, and that's, we'll make like a blueberry with white zin, blue zin. We make a raspberry rosa. But we mostly make wines that are from stuff that's grown in Alaska in the state.
Great. So what are you pouring here?
So we brought our strawberry rhubarb, which is our biggest seller. Everybody loves that. The pomegranate, which the only local element is the water. That's a juice we buy. Then we have our kiwi pear and also Alaskan Chardonnay. What makes it Alaskan is it's half French Chardonnay and half rhubarb. So Chardonnay has a real bite to it. I don't like the smell. But this doesn't have that. The rhubarb mellows it out, makes it very smooth.
Well, that's great. Those all sound good. And you guys also do a bed and breakfast down in Homer,
yes,
right?
We have two suites. They're top of the line, very nice. We have a gift shop. We have, of course, the tasting room. And we also have a venue now where we can do, we do the festival fundraisers. We do festivals. We had four bands there this spring. We did a fundraiser for a scholarship. We can also do weddings there, too. Brand new venue that we have.
Well, great. Thanks, Bill, for taking the time to talk to us, and have a great festival.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're at one of the best parts of the Kenai Beer Festival is all the different food vendors here. There's six or eight different ones to choose from. And we're talking to Alex Vila here from Hot Dogs a la Carte. So, hey, Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You guys have been, I think, at pretty much every one of these that we've had, haven't you?
I think so, yes.
Great. What are you going to be serving today?
Well, we have our specialty, which is reindeer sausage. And we got a specialty with a spicy reindeer as well. And we got like five other different kinds of hot dogs and bratwurst, Polish, Louisiana hot links, all real good.
Oh, man, that sounds delicious. And I know it'd go really good with all these different beers we have here.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you guys are usually, you're over at the Wednesday markets, anywhere else in town?
Usually we set up Wednesday market, Saturday market in Kenai. And then we have our regular spot that we do every day throughout the summer in front of Spinard Builder Supply parking lot in Saldana.
Well, great. Well, thanks for coming to the festival, and we're looking forward to having some of your dogs, man. They look great.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, we're going to wrap things up here at the Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival, talking one more time to Matt Pahala, who we interviewed last month when he told us what was going to happen. And now it's actually happening. So how are things going, Matt?
So far, so good. We just opened the Connoisseur Hour, and it's filling up. We did sell out of the Connoisseur Hour, which is what we predicted. It rained up until about 5 minutes before we started, and it's blue sky in a little bit here. So the weather gods came through.
They always do. You guys seem to have a special hotline there, which I'm always impressed with. Well, that's great that the Connoisseur Session sold out, and looks like you got plenty of food trucks here, and the music is playing, so looks like another successful beer festival, man.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to the rest of the evening. We've got some good music lined up. Juno Smiles entertaining us right now, and they're going to play through for the start of the general admission. Then Megan Lindsay's taking the stage. She was a runner-up on The Voice in 2015, and Rob Justice Band is going to finish us out and take us into the 9 o'clock hour. So.
All right, well, hey, congratulations on another great fest, and I think we're going to sign off now and go and start enjoying it. This is Bill Howell, Drinking on the Last Frontier, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, saying cheers and enjoy the festival.
Drive safely.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Hey, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, when you get up in the morning and you're struggling to find the coffee pot, sometimes it helps to have a friendly voice, keeping you calm and informed. Well, that's what we do here. I'm Jay Barrett. You might remember me from 20 years ago when I worked here before. Well, I'm back, and I'm happy to be your guide from 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday here on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL, 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna.
Welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. And in this month's feature story, we're going to talk about what makes the perfect beer festival. On February 9th, 1946, an essay by the great George Orwell entitled The Moon Underwater was published in the Evening Standard of London. Orwell is better known today for his classic dystopian novel 1984 and his satire Animal Farm, but he was also an accomplished essayist, and this particular essay provided a detailed description of his favorite London pub named The Moon Underwater. For those unfamiliar with the essay, the twist at its end is Orwell's admission that the moon underwater doesn't actually exist. It represents his idealized version of the public house, combining the best aspects of several different London pubs. In the spirit of Orwell, let's consider the following thought experiment. If the moon underwater ever held a beer festival, what would it be like? In other words, what would the perfect beer festival have to offer? First and foremost, there would have to be great beers on offer. It's a beer festival, after all.
This ideal festival would offer beers not readily available, either because they come from breweries whose beers aren't normally distributed in the area where the festival is located, or because the beers are limited releases that are typically only available at the brewery itself, or best of all, beers that were brewed especially for this particular festival. Given the size of Alaska and the remoteness of some of our breweries, being able to sample the beers from multiple breweries in a single location can be a powerful attraction, especially if the beer list includes offerings from towns like Kodiak Island, Homer, Gakona, or Haines, breweries whose beers seldom travel beyond their local markets. Second, the festival goers would have to be there for the right reasons. That is, to enjoy and experience the beer, not just to get drunk. This can be a problem with some of the bigger festivals out there. Yes, I'm looking at you, Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine Festival. Festivals should be cheerful and pleasant events, without a lot of heavily intoxicated individuals wandering around and causing disruptions. One way to address this is through the pricing structure. Charging a modest admission fee, followed by a requirement to pay for your drinks as you go, by purchasing tokens, seems to encourage a much more thoughtful attitude towards consumption. This festival model is popular in Europe and has been adopted by the Frozen River Fest in Soldotna. It seems that having to pay for each individual beer, as opposed to being handed a fistful of sample tickets or tokens upon entry, encourages people to slow down and enjoy what they are drinking instead of trying to drink their money's worth. Also, it's critical that the festival do everything it can to ensure attendees can get home safely. Partnerships with local cab companies and good relations with local police are a big plus. Third, there should be good food available. Good beer is enhanced by good food and vice versa. A festival with vendors offering a variety of hearty, wholesome foods to accompany its beers will always be much more pleasant than one offering either no food or overpriced, tasteless fare. Plus, the consumption of food helps to prevent the overconsumption of alcohol. Fourth, the best beer festivals have something to offer the non-drinker as well. Whether it's good live entertainment or games for the kids, these festivals recognize that not everyone can or wants to consume alcohol. Designated driver tickets are an excellent idea. Allowing non-drinkers to attend for free or at greatly reduced prices make it that much easier for drinkers to get home safely. And if the festival is doing a good job with priority number two, ensuring there's no overconsumption, there should be no problem with having children in attendance, which also enhances the social aspect of the event. Moderate consumption of alcohol is neither corrupting nor shameful. There's no reason to hide it from the eyes of children. Fifth, the festival should have a great location, ideally outdoors in good weather. While this isn't always possible, especially here in Alaska, it's still something worth striving for. There's a reason that a place for consuming beer is called a beer garden. Beer just naturally goes down well in a pleasant outdoor setting. It's a bonus if there are other breweries, beer attractions nearby. After all, some attendees may be coming from quite some distance, so the more beer activities they can partake in, the better. Sixth and last, it's always a plus if the goal of the festival is to support some worthy local charity, rather than just to enrich some event production company. Some festivals are held simply for their own sake and are priced with an eye toward breaking even, but many others seek to show some sort of profit which can then be donated. Doing good for the community while enjoying yourself is always desirable. When you examine the range of beer festivals held across Alaska, you can see that, just like the pubs in Orwell's London, none of them check every block, though some check more than most. The Great Alaska Beer and Barley Wine offers an excellent chance to sample beers from around the state, but there's little available in the way of decent food, the amount of money it raises for charity is laughable, and it typically degenerates into a drunk fest due to each attendee being issued too many drink tickets upon entry. Our local festivals here on the Kenai come pretty close, but even they miss a couple. The Kenai Peninsula Beer Festival doesn't allow children, and while Soldotna Creek Park in February has its charms, I'm not sure the Frozen River Fest location could properly be called a garden. Still, even if nothing in this world is perfect, we should still enjoy what we can, even as we strive for improvement. The number of beer festivals around Alaska continues to grow, increasing the opportunities for beer lovers to enjoy and experience even more craft beers. So get out there and attend them, even as we all keep searching for that ever so elusive perfect festival. After all, George Orwell didn't stop going to pubs just because the moon underwater wasn't real. Coming up next, we'll examine our style of the month. This month's style is Oktoberfest. This is Drinking on the Last Frontier with Bill Howell on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna.
Shaylin Cochran here, reporter and host at KDLL. You know, one of the things I like most about public radio is the time we get just to learn, explore, and talk. Join us Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. to be a part of the Kenai Conversation. 60 minutes dedicated to learning, exploring, and talking right here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
Welcome back to Drinking on the Last Frontier. This is your host, Bill Howell, on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna. For our final segment this month, we're going to talk about the Oktoberfest style. In keeping with this month's festival theme, it seems only fitting that in our beer segment, we should focus on the one beer style that's actually named after a festival. While everyone has heard of Oktoberfest, you may not be familiar with its particulars. What began as a royal wedding celebration in 1810 has grown into the largest beer festival in the world, with about 6 million visitors each year. It is held from the last 2 weeks in September through the first week in October in Munich, the capital of Bavaria in southern Germany. The original festival was held in October, hence the name, but was moved forward into September in the 1870s in search of consistently better weather. What breweries are allowed to have their beers served at the festival is also strictly regulated. Only the 6 large breweries that brew beer within the city limits of Munich are allowed to deliver beer to the festival. Smaller Munich breweries and those from outside the town are strictly banned. It's a popular myth that there's been only one distinct style of beer brewed for Oktoberfest, but the historical evidence shows that there have been many changes in the beers served at the festival. For the first 60 years or so, the then popular style of Bavarian Dunkel, a dark lager beer, seems to have been dominant. A shortage of this style during a particularly hot summer in 1872 led to the introduction of the Märzen or Vienna-style lager, which was so popular that it became the dominant style of beer at the festival for over 100 years, eventually earning the name Oktoberfest style. Ironically, changing tastes in the late 20th century have meant that since 1990, all the beers served at the festival have been pale golden lagers, rather than the traditional Oktoberfest style. So what is this traditional Oktoberfest beer like? Much of the base malt is the so-called Munich malt, a highly aromatic malt which produces a light amber to nearly brown beer. It's hopped with traditional German hop varieties to produce moderate hop bitterness with little to no hop flavor, coming in at 18 to 24 international bittering units. Fermentation using lager yeast produces a clean, rich, toasty, and bready flavor with a dry finish that encourages another drink. The overall malt impression is soft, elegant, and complex, with a rich aftertaste that is never cloying or heavy. If you're looking for local example, St. Elias Brewing frequently offers this style in September, while imports from Germany are available in some local stores. When it comes to pairing this beer with food, you will find that Oktoberfest works well with all sorts of hearty dishes like chili or barbecue brisket. It also pairs well with Caesar salad, macaroni and cheese, apple or pumpkin pie, and even pancakes or waffles. A more unusual pairing, but one that works especially well, is to match this classic German beer with the Americanized version of a classic Russian dish, beef stroganoff. The brown steak and mushroom flavors have a nice interplay with the beer's caramel and malt notes. The rich and creamy sauce matches the toffee notes found in the beer, while the moderate carbonation helps lift the sauce, cleanses the palate, and makes you ready for the next bite. Whether you call it Märzen, Vienna Lager, or Oktoberfest, this classic German beer style is definitely one of the most popular fall seasonal beers out there and definitely worth seeking out to be enjoyed. Well, that's it for this month's show here on Drinking on the Last Frontier. I'm your host again, Bill Howell, here on KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, and I'll leave you with our final beer quote for this month. It's from Hunter S. Thompson, the famous Gonzo journalist, and he said, "Good people drink good beer." So on that note, we'll see you next month here on Drinking on the Last Frontier. Cheers.
Beers of Alaska, beer on the last frontier, beer.